Hey guys, welcome back to Diana Prince Secret Agent. This is episode number 14. I'm one of your hosts, Ed.
I'm the other, Terry.
We are looking at Wonder Woman Volume 1, Issue 188, because we are a Wonder Woman Mod Era podcast. Now, if you want to get in touch, you can, a variety of ways. Teal Productions on Blue Sky and Facebook is a way. News P Commando or Tooth Gnasher. Actually, that's Terry, on Twitter. If you want an email, you can email imindyman@gmail.com, and the website is comicbooknoise.com/TNC. Those are just the first letters of the words Tango November Charlie. Now, this book is cover dated May-June 1970, and according to Mike's Amazing World, shows an on-sale date of approximately February 16th, 1970. Now, you can find the issue reprinted. We have the privilege of having an actual copy of the book, as well as the Wonder Woman Diana Prince Celebrating the 60s Omnibus, which is what I use. We also can find reprint of this book in Diana Prince Wonder Woman from 2008, issue number 2. I don't know if I've ever seen that to know what format that is or anything. Now, according to the DC Fandom Wiki, while Diana Prince is consulting with Inspector David McLean of the Hong Kong Police, the island is rocked by an earthquake. She and Patrick investigate outside once the tremors stop and find Lu Shan and some of Dr. Cyber's gang attacking them, but they elude the assassins. Dr. Cyber, safely off of Hong Kong, broadcasts a blackmail message demanding she be made ruler of the Earth, with the world to be leveled by earthquakes as an alternative. Diana is found by Cyber's killer squad, but she defeats them and forces one of the women to tell her where the earthquakers are. All but one of the earthquakers are shut down. At the last earthquaker locale, both Diana and Patrick are captured and chained up by Dr. Cyber, who forces Diana to look upon her ravaged face, which unfortunately we never see. But Diana kicks Cyber unconscious, manages to pull her chains out of the wall, and frees Patrick with a key found on Cyber. The villainess revives and tries to attack Diana with a sword, but Diana knocks her into a high-voltage wire, electrocuting Cyber and causing the final earthquaker to explode. Diana and Patrick manage to escape. Lu Shan, who also reaches safety, vows vengeance for her mistress. Later, Diana and Patrick learn that Lu Shan has gone into Red China, and I Ching has gotten out of his hospital bed and followed her there. Which, that is one of our longer synopsis. But it actually, it turns out to be pretty accurate also. Mm-hmm. So, starting out looking at the cover here. Can you hear me that? Mm-hmm. Cool beans. We have, it's pretty close to an image from the story. It kind of fits into the story. Mm-hmm. It's an image of Diana. She's chained, wearing a white dress that's been hacked and cut up from where she's been earthquaked and fought and stuff. And over here on the left-hand side is a facing away from us, which you don't know actually until you read the book. Well, maybe. The title of the story is Cyber's Revenge, so maybe you could tell then, I don't know, who this is unwrapping their face, and you see that it must not be pretty because this person is making a point. I look up here at the fingernails and see that they're pointed, so I know this must be a female or a guy that just likes longer fingernails, which I don't run into very much. So I'm presuming it's a woman showing her face to Diana, and unless I had been reading, that's all I would know. There's not really any way to connect Cyber with that person, and if you haven't been reading, you don't really know who Cyber is to know it's a female. So I guess my whole point is that the cover really doesn't give anything away. It's just meant to be an enticing cover. So, moving into the story itself, anything? What do you think of the art on this first page? It takes up most of the first page.
Yes, it does, and it's fun. It's your standard art from this time period for me. I mean, okay. It's in the later books that we do other podcasts about, where the art is very fantastical to me. Back in this time period of art, it's very literal.
Okay.
To me.
Okay. I didn't give you the creatives, which it may be later on in the book. It may not. I forget. But the cover is drawn for us by Mike Sikowski, inked by Dick Giordano, and lettered by Gaspar Saladino. Inside, the story itself is scripted and penciled by Mike Sikowski, inked by Dick Giordano, and lettered by Charlotte Jeter, J-E-T-T-E-R,
Jeter.
I guess is how that would be pronounced.
Jeter.
So, I don't know. Maybe Gaspar was busy on other books, or maybe it's gotten to the point where, nah, all I want are letters, just covers. That's all the money I need. I'll just letter covers. Okay, sorry.
Back to where we were.
Yeah.
We're talking about the inside first page where it's showing the decimation of the boats in the harbor and the people picking up I Ching. Just Ching.
Just Ching,
and
yeah.
Diane and what's his name, Steve?
Steve is what his name should be since they're going to have a paramour, but... Patrick?
Patrick.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, while I was wondering this, I'm like, she's running around with Patrick.
Uh-huh.
Why did they kill Steve if they're going to have a male love interest?
He isn't really a love interest yet.
Oh, come on.
He's not.
Okay.
So, when we left last, Dr. Cyber had escaped.
Prior to our really weird journey into Jerry Lewis land.
Yes. Dr. Cyber had escaped and left Diane and Ching for dead, I think. And they were picked up and they go and she goes to the police while Ching is in the hospital. She goes to the police with Patrick and they explain what's going on to the police captain there, who is from the Bronx or something? I mean, he's not Oriental.
No, he's New York.
He's from New York.
Yeah, he turned out to be a dude from New York.
And they're like, you know, where's your proof? What's going on? And then all of a sudden, there's an earthquake happening. And she's like, look outside. Just look outside. So they go, she and Patrick run outside to try to escape the buildings falling down on their head.
Yeah.
And manage to be, like, blown off into some rubble, and then somebody starts shooting at them. It's not enough that we can just be blown, you know.
Well, no.
It's not enough.
Yeah, no, the earthquakers aren't a big enough deal.
Yes. So, apparently...
And that's not to be confused with any of the Quakers that we have here in the U.S.
No.
No, these are earth, or actually, I guess other parts of the world, too, could be. But these are earthquakers.
And apparently, Cyber has cool inventions like Batman, because... Patrick is going off about how the wheels work on the car because they're able to go over rubble like an all-terrain vehicle.
What it is it's like it looks like a motorcycle, kind of a three-wheeler with one in front and two in back. But in between, because it's about, I don't know, probably 18, 20 feet long, in between, every time there's two wheels, it's almost like the vehicle is sectioned so that those wheels, they can... articulate on their own, and so it allows it to move up over rubble and stuff like that as they're driving through this trashed part of Hong Kong, thanks to the what caused the rubble?
The Earthquakers.
Earthquakers, yes. Not Space Quakers or Sun Quakers.
No,
or
the Earthquakers.
Earthquakers, yes.
So they tried to dodge all the bullets and run away, and they start running up on rooftops, thinking, okay, if we can get up, then maybe those vehicles can't fly and come after us. And apparently they can't.
Right, because
all of a sudden the women for Cyber are, you know, saying, let's get out of the car and chase them down. So they start chasing them down. Well, they're very fast. And they decide, Patrick and Wonder Woman, Diana, decide that they need to get under some rubble and just let them pass on by, which is what they do, and it works.
Hey, walk on by.
Walk on by.
Isn't that a 70s song?
Yes.
Yeah.
And at the same time, a bandaged mummy-ish face.
We don't
really
know who
this is. People of Hong Kong and to the world, saying, you know, what you've seen demonstrated here in Hong Kong can be duplicated by me anywhere. The governments of the earth have but one way out. They must declare me the supreme ruler. And
I don't know if I was, you know, president or dictator or ruler of another country, and you destroyed Hong Kong.
You don't think you'd care?
I don't know. If I don't own Hong Kong, which I think at this time it's like the British that did. Yeah, it's like, Britain, Queen. I think that's yours. Mm-hmm. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what you want me to do.
And to demonstrate just exactly the horror that she can cause, she causes another earthquake to happen. And we see people trying to get people to an ambulance, and the ambulance is like rocked and shook.
Now, I thought at first that this was like trying to show us like a tidal wave when mm-hmm. I first saw this picture.
Mm-hmm. No.
But it's just
not yet.
It's vibration, yes. I guess, is what that is.
So during this earthquake, Diane and Patrick are covered up in some other rubble, and Diane wakes up and is like, come on, we gotta go, and Patrick is knocked unconscious, and the cyber women catch up with Diane, and they pull her out of the rubble and say, come on, we've got her, we've got the prize, and radio the boss, and Diane's like, well, you better wait, because you may not have the prize, I may have you, and a fight ensues, and she does win that battle. And she goes running after the one cyber woman who starts to run away because she realizes she can't win. And Patrick wakes up, and Diana catches her and puts her in an ankle lock. And Patrick's like, no, you can't do that. We have to take her to the police headquarters. And Diana's like, are you even aware of what's going on?
Can
are
I
you
do what?
Even looking around? More people will die if we wait to take her to the police station and let them question her. We need to do something now. And she starts twisting her ankle and says, talk.
And I just realized Diana starts with a tracksuit on, a jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't tell that by the cover.
Yeah.
But she really must have gone through some stuff by the time she gets chained up on the cover. Yeah, okay.
So then comes our tidal wave.
At that point. Hong Kong, I guess. It's coastal, so.
Diana's like, and yeah, more will come because of the earthquakes.
Sure.
And Patrick's finally like, fine, yes, okay, maybe you're right. I'll then show you.
Torture her. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead and torture her. And the girl's like, no, wait a minute. I'll show you where they are. So she takes them to where they need to go and says, all you got to do is push that button over there. And Diane's like, no.
You have
come too easy.
Yeah.
There's something going on here. I know you're more devious than that, and we have to let her turn the machine off,
right,
Patrick,
you
not
did.
You. And the woman's like, you are smart, and another battle ensues.
How about that skin color?
I know. It's
something.
I don't know what it is. I'm assuming the coloring is just a little off.
It's almost a yellow. I guess what it
yellow
is,
green,
it's a
almost.
Shade of yellow. Yeah,
it's almost a yellow-green.
Diana is...
Very white.
Almost
black hair.
Almost styrofoamish. Mm-hmm. She's almost as white as her outfit in skin tone. Patrick, usually you see Patrick off to the side in shade. So his skin tone is always kind of darkish. But he's Caucasian as well. But yeah, this poor young lady, I guess she's supposed to be from Hong Kong, I guess. She's a local. And
So they fight, and Diana wins that battle again and says, okay, you know, we don't have any more time for niceties. Let's turn that machine off. Or are you afraid to die? And she's like, no, all right. Okay, so you have to turn this button to the left and then turn this button, because if you don't do it in that order, then it blows up.
So this is an earthquaker.
Yes, this is an earthquaker.
She has taken them to
an earthquaker.
Have we been told yet that there are multiple of these?
Yes.
Okay, so there's like six, like there's five, and then cyber is supposed to be at a sixth one somewhere. So they just turned off one of them.
Right.
I wonder if you activate different ones, or if in order to cause an earthquake, they all have to be turned on.
I don't think so. I think it has to be able to be done in different lands, or she couldn't threaten different lands, because she's saying, watch what I'm doing here in Hong Kong, and if you don't make me supreme ruler of the whole world, then I'll do it in your lands also.
Oh, I read it to mean that there were five of these or six of these around Hong Kong.
No. That's not how
you
I
mean
read
around
it.
The world.
Yes.
So there's one. How
else
at Hong
can
Kong.
She threaten the world?
Well, no, you're right. You're right. So if there's one in Hong Kong, mm-hmm. and they just turned it off, mm-hmm. where do they meet up with Dr. Cyber? Because she's supposed to be at one too.
That's true. So I'm wrong.
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, what you're saying as far as, well, theoretically.
You world know, dominance, I figure you have to go worldwide.
Right, yeah. If you had all of them at Hong Kong, how is that? Yeah. Like I said, it's like, meh, go ahead and take
but
it.
But apparently there are more than one because even though they've turned that one off, all there's of a sudden we earthquake. Have another earthquake.
Yeah, you're right. So yeah,
because here we are with another earthquake and... The inspector had said, you know, we've got her now. Because they took her to the inspector.
Right, they took her to the police.
And the inspector's like, well, okay, I'll take us over now. And then there's another earthquake, and Diana says, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, so...
I think that we need to talk to her. You're too much of a gentleman, and we need to talk to her in the manner in which she'll understand.
Rough her up again.
And she draws back a fist and says, you better tell me what I want to know. And the girl's like, okay, I'll tell you. Now, they're at a map.
Yeah,
and she's pointing out all the different places where
there are
some.
So I guess they
some.
Must be.
So apparently they all are in
they're
Hong
here,
Kong.
Here, and the last one here. So she points out five, mm-hmm. and they turned one off. Mm-hmm. So all six of them were at Hong Kong, as far as we know. Now, she might have others that mm-hmm. she's not referring to. But also, it's kind of interesting. At this time, I think, when the book came out, 1970, the man... would have been the heavy. He would have been, although no, he couldn't threaten a woman, could he? It would have to be a woman that would threaten to beat up a woman or you're wrong. Yeah, so I guess it can't be the man being the heavy because the person that they want information from is a female. But it just, it's very switching roles mm-hmm. that it is. First of all, I don't think Wonder Woman would ever operate that way. Diana is like, yeah, she's okay to do it. And she has previous issues also. She is the heavy, while the men are the backup, which I think in pop culture at the time, it's the reverse.
But if you think about the movie-based Wonder Woman, that's the way it is. She is the main, and the men are just the backup.
Oh yeah, in the first movie, yeah, because mm-hmm. we don't think about the second movie because it really sucked. But the first movie, yeah, you're right. She's the one that got up and did stuff, mm-hmm. and Captain Kirk was the one always and following her, mm-hmm. And then of course the other three or four guys that he pulled together would follow him, and yeah.
So the next scene is they, as in Diana and Patrick, sorry, have commandeered or borrowed, whichever way you want to look at it, a Jeep. Mm. And they are trying to get to where the last of the Earthquakers are, because that's where she figures Cyber is going to be.
Yeah, the police said, we'll take these. Yes. And then she's like, okay, then we'll take this last one.
Mm-hmm. Which, how she knew the last one, I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? So it shows the police, you know, going into the other Earthquakers and disarming them in the manner they're supposed to.
Probably because it was one that was offshore on a little island that way that the other one, Earthquakers,
and also said Cyber could get away.
Didn't bother her. Yeah, the farthest away, so she starts mm-hmm. the farthest away.
So because the police are stopping all the Earthquakers, people are starting to think, okay, well, this is over. So they're starting to go way back in the town.
I can go back home.
And Diane's
yeah.
like, no, they shouldn't be doing that because we haven't gotten to the last one yet. And then we see Cyber. And she's like talking to her minions that are there, saying, well, we've not heard from any of the other Earthquakers. We've not heard from any of the other people that are manning them. So therefore, we must put all our power into this one. Yes.
Isn't that a different thing that we've seen her cover her face? Wasn't that
well,
image
she's
bandages?
She's got a cowl, but there's bandages under the cowl.
Oh, okay. And then the cover, it were bandages
yes.
in here.
So without warning, there's another earthquake. Because she has armed up the one where she's
one
at.
Left. Right.
And Diana's like, oh no, we've got to get her. We've got to get her now. She starts beating up some cyber women and running down the stairs to where the cyber is. And all of a sudden they hit a trap door. So when they wake up, they're both tied up, chained up. And she is not in the lovely little dress that she is on the front.
No, not quite.
She's in her pantsuit.
Yeah, she's still
her tracksuit that has torn a little bit at the knees and below. But
well,
still,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, you would expect everything.
It's not
she's
like the dress
doing.
On the front
no,
page.
Yeah.
So Cyber says, you know, this is something you're responsible for. And she starts to unwrap. She pulls the cowl down and she starts to unwrap her face. And Diane looks away and she's like, no, you're not going to look away. You're going to look at me. And Diane's like, I wasn't looking away. I was trying to get you close to me so I could do this. And she kicks her backside the head. And then she flips herself over and wishes she had some of her superpowers and pulls the chains out of the wall. So Diane is pulled the chains out of the wall and she is whapping the Cyber with them upside the head again. And she drops to the floor and Cyber's like, now you die. And she hits her again. She's hitting all the minions that are there. She's just taking them all out. And Patrick wakes up and Diane's like, here, I found a key. Let me get you free. And she undoes him. While she's unlocking Patrick, Cyber wakes up enough to pick up this lovely little sword that is all jaggedy. It looks like a lightning bolt or something.
Can we call that a saber?
Yeah, let's call it Cyber Saber.
There you go. It would be a cyber saber.
Uh-huh. And yes. Patrick says, look out. And she turns around with her wonderful instincts that Ching taught her. And she smacks her upside the head again with another piece of the metal from her chains. Knocks her back into the high voltage, as we were told in the
And how
synopsis.
Do we know that it's high voltage?
Because it says danger high voltage in English and in some other
I don't know, Cantonese
symbol language.
Yeah, I don't know
I'm
what
not
it would be.
Exactly
But yeah,
sure.
there's a sign there in yes. red. It says danger high voltage.
So her hand touches the voltage wire and she writhes and twists. But still at the same time, she's reaching with her other hand because she has a lot of hate in her.
Yes.
So she's strong and reaching with her other hand and she's pushing the button that will self-destruct the Earthquaker. Diane sees this, grabs Patrick and says, we've got to go, we've got to run. And we see a huge kaboom and Patrick and Diane are thrown toward us away from the kaboom.
That strikes me as a very cinematic
yes.
drawing there.
Yes,
that's,
it yeah. is. And Patrick says, are you okay, Di? And she's like, I am, but my outfit has lost it. I need
but
your jacket.
Not quite like it did on
no,
the cover.
No, not on the front cover. And over to the side, we see Lu Shan, who is Ching's daughter.
Daughter.
Saying, I'm going to avenge you, Cyber, that I swear. Because they figure that she couldn't have survived that blast. But I'm sure somehow
Cyber,
she probably does.
Probably, yeah. We'll see Dr. Cyber again. It's a comic book,
yes.
after all.
So later, Di says, we've got to help get some of these people to the hospital. Because they come upon a bunch of people trying to get there. And
there it is.
Mm-hmm. And then this is a new outfit because this is days later.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Days
okay.
later after that job is done, after they've helped get all
right.
the people into
okay.
the hospital, she goes to find Ching. And this
at the
is
hospital.
At the hospital. And they've told her that Ching has checked himself out because he is following Liu Chan to Red China.
Red China.
Where you can't get into because it's very heavily guarded and boarded. And we wonder how they're going to get there.
Yes. So she's going to have to sneak in somehow.
Yes.
To Red China. With this last image here of Diana's face is mm-hmm. is very fetching.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, yeah, that was a nicely done.
And then we have a lovely little full page that tells us the Forbidden Frontier.
Yeah, this
the one that leads into Red China.
Kind of
what
weird.
Is the reason Diana Wonder Woman Prince must cross it? And after she does cross it, what makes her take an old steamboat that looks like something off the old Mississippi on take it down a perilous voyage down a river, patrolled by MiGs and high-powered patrol boats? Read the thrilling answers in the next Wonder Woman 189, Red for Death.
We have women and children being shot. We have someone holding a big machine gun that is a partisan, I guess, of some whatever war it is.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s, I think, I guess this is just supposed to be like the Chinese army. I don't know that they're, well, no, I guess what, the Vietnam War? Would be going on in 1970, maybe. So that's what it strikes me as, is a scene out of a Vietnam movie, you know, set during the Vietnamese War. So
now I wonder if, because we have a two-page small short story.
Yeah.
Two-pager. And I'm wondering if there's a contractual agreement that the length, the number of pages of comic is a certain number in order for you to fulfill your contract, and the story ended two pages short, so they threw this in there.
Well, it could be. My understanding is that, well, you can be contracted for so many pages per month. That is one contract. Another way to do it is that you get paid per page. So either way, whatever it was, apparently this story, once it got arted by Sikowski and Giordano, was short how long the comic books were at the time. And so they did something. Let me look up and check the creatives on this and see. Sikowski and Giordano are the scripter, penciler, and inker for this little thing, too. So, I mean, it's the same people that did the big story. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
So, it's just Diana in a store trying to buy a present for a man. She's not sure what to get. While she's asking the little sales clerk, someone tries to steal her purse. Of course, Diana knows and confronts him, knocks him out. He has a bunch of other people's wallets and bags. A little old lady comes up to Diane and says, "How dare you thwart my partner?" Diane realizes it's not a little old lady and knocks the crap out of him also.
Her him? Yeah, it turns out to be a dude in drag.
Then the police come and get him. They know him. He is a known thief. And the clerk says at the last panel, "How did you know that wasn't a little lady?" And Diana's like, "Because he had on the same cologne you were just trying to sell me."
Right, that I was just...
So that was it for this little two-page story.
Creepy, C-A-N-I-G-U-H. Caniga?
Mm-hmm.
Caniga?
Caniga.
Creepy Caniga mm-hmm. is the big the bad low life. In that
the
one.
The low life.
Yeah. I would be interested. I don't know... Well, let me see again. I don't know if it tells us who the editor is. We would have to look up at the time and see who's editing these books. Could be alive, but I doubt they would remember. What is this?
Michael Sikowski is the editor.
Is the editor.
Carmine Infantino is the editorial director.
Yeah, he's the big editor, Carmine. Yeah, I'd be curious because it's the same creatives except for the letterer. It's mm-hmm. a different letterer, but it's like, well, if you were able to put together the two more pages, why couldn't you just
flesh out the story?
Two more pages to the story. Yeah, I'm not sure. Interesting question though.
So now to our ad portion of the show, the inside cover, though not in color, it could have been. Shows you a free giant stallion mural, full color masterpiece, because it's color, but it's not in color. It's black and white.
It's an oil painting.
But you can choose $1, all four prints in glorious color, only $1. And me as a child, if I had seen this, I would have wanted them because I loved horses.
Did you like horses?
I loved horses.
That's cool.
I would have plastered my room with those pictures.
Yeah, you could pick one of the ad was for one, but you had four that you could pick from. And they were 16 by 20. All of them couldn't have been 16 by 20 because this one is landscape. So the landscapes are 16 by 20.
You got all four of them, honey.
Oh, did you get all four?
Please send me the four full-color thoroughbred prints for just $1.
16 by 20 mural. Oh, is that a different thing than the mural?
Four magnificent thoroughbred paintings. Yours is large as 9 by 12 full-color reproductions.
Yeah, but see, this one up here, the King of Stallions, is 16 by 20. Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know. But then you have one.
That's kind of cute, by the way.
Two, three, four, five, six pages of story before you get to the next ad. That's a lot.
The mental picture of you with pictures of horses on your wall.
Oh, I had a what you would call now a coffee table book of horses. It was huge.
Of pictures
mm-hmm,
of
pictures
horses?
Pictures of horses.
Oh, that's cool.
And it also had a little bit of blurb underneath the picture about what type of horse it was.
Oh, cool. Okay. Different breeds and everything. Cool.
So now our next full page.
You didn't grow up with them, right?
No.
You guys didn't have them on the farm.
No, we didn't. Okay. We had a garden. We didn't have a farm.
You had a dog.
We had a dog and a cat.
Okay.
That was the extent of our animals and bunnies.
Closest
deer.
I knew was my...
Turkeys. You know, all those wild things.
Yeah. My mom's dad, my mom's grandpa... had horses on his farm in Kentucky. That's really the closest I ever got to horses until I was
I rode old. A horse at Pipestem, but that and I rode a horse at my friend Phyllis's house. But other than that, I've not really had anything to do with
a friend from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they had horses.
They had
on
horses
there?
On their farm. Oh, they had an actual farm. They had chickens and pigs and horses and cows. We had a garden.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay, next full page ad is available for the first time. Movie posters for some of the greatest and wildest films ever. $1.50 each.
The Valley of Guanji is the one I see here. It looks like a big reptile. The Mad Woman of Shalott, Chaillot.
I don't know. It's not very focused, so it's very hard to read.
They're not very major movies. I don't recall. Well, here's one that's got Steve McQueen. And here's one that's got Warren Beatty. Oh, Bonnie and Clyde. That's a big movie. Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
The Wild Bunch is a big movie.
The Wild Bunch.
Some of the others I don't know. Yeah, but it's very hard to read. Our next full page is Here's a Fabulous Collection of Origins, How Superboy Found Krypto, The Discovery of Kryptonite, The First Phantom Zone Story, The Start of the Lois Lang, Lois Lane Feud. It's the Giant Superboy. And
Superboy,
number 71?
165.
I don't know where I'm... Oh, okay, it's right there. Bang.
Well, that's funny because I just read a Superman where one of the stories was Lana Lang challenging Lois Lane to a duel to make Superman jealous. And he knew, but he couldn't let on that he knew, and they played it up. And all that. It was a fun little Silver Age super story.
Cool. Then we have our full page of The New Wonderful World of Wonder Woman, Letters to the Editor.
Yeah, nobody's name jumps
Nobody notable. And then lots of pages of story. I think there's less ads in this book.
Yeah, I think so.
Then we have a full page which is cut into two half ads. One's for the planes and one's for the naval fleet ships.
Trains and automobiles.
That you can order the models.
Right, yeah, the set, right, they're sets of, or, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then our next full page is fun. Fun, fun, fun is Jerry Lewis or Debbie or the Palisades Amusement Park. You can get your ticket. You can cut it out and get one free parking admission to the Palisades.
Pretty standard, the Palisades advert in these. And, Jerry Lewis. We talked about Jerry Lewis last episode.
Yes, we did.
I think it was a little difficult for us.
And then at the end of the story, before the little two-pager, we have a 1/3 read DC's best Batman. Apparently, he's the big call for DC at this point in time.
Yeah.
It's Batman.
Yeah, already.
And it's number.
Yeah, I.
Something. Who knows? Looks like 121, maybe.
It's 15 cents. That's about. And it's Batman. Looks like he's on a gargoyle, leaning over, watching something going on. There's a group of them looking for Batman. Seek Batman, my pets, and destroy whoever's in the lead. And
it's the March book.
He's watching them on top of a gargoyle looking down, and there's, of course, bats floating around. So if that's enough to trigger what issue that is for somebody, good on you.
Then after the two-page short story, we have Free with Membership 15 Record Set Young America Record Club Rock Festival. Don't do it.
Oh, it's the it's the predecessor to the tape.
Yes, don't do it.
45s. You get 15 45s. Mm-hmm.
Singles or cassette tapes.
Oh, you get, yeah.
You can get cassette tapes.
Cassette tapes too, yeah.
And then the inside cover is our bunch of little thing, the ad that has a bunch of little pictures of things that you can buy, like the Strongman Muscles of Steel, the Trick
things.
Black Soap, the Throw Your Voice, the Miniature Secret Camera, and you can order the catalog, or you can list up to 5 items on this little tiny order form.
And send it in. Right.
Or you can probably send them a piece of paper and they'll be happy
so
with
you
that.
So you can enclose the payment, or you could send it COD.
I will make payment and delivery.
Wow, which
I'm telling you,
which is shipping charges anyways. Mm-hmm. I mean, so but yeah, COD is that even, unless whoever sends you something doesn't pay enough, is there even a COD possibility anymore?
No.
I don't know. I always wanted the Joy Buzzer. I could never, even in the quarter machines, I could never get one, and I always wanted one of those.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then the back page is in full color, if you want to call green a full color.
Yeah,
it's mostly green because it's the movie Monster Kits by Aurora, and most of the monsters are green.
Yeah, very.
You have Godzilla,
very
and
green.
You have the Lizard Man, and Frankenstein. You have the werewolf who's green, Dracula. I mean, they're all green. I don't know why they're all green. Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Phantom of the Opera, the Mummy, Dracula, the Forgotten Prisoner of Castlemore, Hunchback of Notre Dame, King Kong, Godzilla, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the Witch, and the Creature. Are all the things that you can get from
and
the movies.
I think the creature is the creature from the Black Lagoon. That's the one that you said, the lizard guy there.
Here?
Yeah.
That's him?
Yeah, that's the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Okay. So that's it for the ads. I think there was less ads.
I think so. I think there were less of their own book ads, too.
Mm-hmm.
There were just a couple. So, yeah, I don't know what's changed or why they would. I don't know. Maybe they're making enough money and they don't have to have as much ads. Which is funny because they don't have enough story.
Maybe they're like in our business. It's hard to get people to buy ads at this point in time.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe they lost some ads.
There you go.
And they weren't able to make up for it in time. So they asked him for a short little two-pager and they made that up. Maybe that's what happened. Why it...
Could be.
It feels so weird.
Because I know selling ads ebbs and flows. And it has since the beginning of time.
Yeah. So maybe somebody pulled out short notice and they're like, crap, we got two Revell? More pages we have to fill.
There was no Revell
ads.
There
was no Revell?
There's usually at least two Revell ads.
Yeah. Yeah. And
maybe Revell's going under.
They had the planes and the ships, but they didn't have any soldiers or cowboys or Roman centurions or any of the plastic figures. Maybe, yeah, I bet that's what happened. Looking at it now,
maybe Revell didn't pay their bill. It's like,
oh, there you go. And they
if you're not going to pay your bill, we're going to cut you out of the book.
We're not putting your ad in this month.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. Well, that is issue 188 of Wonder Woman from 1970. I am Ed.
I'm Terry.
And we will talk to you guys next month.
Bye.
Ciao.